Hello and welcome to the Peaceful Revolution. My name is Tim Spies. This message is entitled The Great Bible Falsehood, Part 1. The greatest religious falsehood and lie that has been propagated and believed over the past few centuries is that the Bible is the Word of God to mankind. This falsehood is tremendously damaging since it serves to hide the light of the world, the true Word of God to mankind, who is the person of Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth, to hide him from the people of the earth. Religious falsehoods are often the main thing that stands in the way of the peaceful revolution, because the purpose of religious falsehoods is usually to hide the light of the world, that is Joshua, the very leader we all desperately need. So a very clever way to defeat some important truth, if you can't destroy it, in other words, if some message, important message or information got out and started to get propagated amongst a group of people and you couldn't pull that back and destroy it, the next best thing you can do to try to destroy it is to take that message and to corrupt it, to surround it with complexity, to add many false things to it and surround it by all this false stuff. And that's exactly what the Biblians and religious people have done over the vast few centuries. They've taken the person who is the Word of God to mankind, that is Joshua of Nazareth, they've taken him and the account of his story, of his life and his teachings, and they've taken those four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they've hid them in this gigantic book they call the Holy Bible. So they put these four books somewhere in between the Hebrew scripture and what they call the New Testament, or Paul's writings. And in so doing, they very effectively hide the light of the world. If you've ever tried to read through the Bible, people in Western culture read from left to right. If you start in Genesis 1, the likelihood of ever reaching Matthew chapter 1 is very small because of all of the contradictions and irrelevancies that occur in the Hebrew scripture. So it's a very effective way to hide the light of the world. And of course, there are many contradictions and false things said about God in the Hebrew scripture, so you're already confused before you ever get to the light of the world and his clear revelation. So it's very important for people to know that the light of the world is the Word of God to mankind. And in fact, and ironically, the Bible itself never says that it's the Word of God. Nowhere does the Bible say that of itself, whether the Protestant or the Catholic version of the Bible, that's not written anywhere. Those are rather the traditional exclamations of men today, of religious men who want to use that book for their own purposes, for their own control over people. So the Bible itself doesn't say it's the Word of God. And in fact, the Bible itself does identify the Word of God, ironically. It identifies the Word of God as Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth. See the book of John chapter 1 verse 1 for that, or Revelation chapter 19:13, Luke chapter 1 also. There are several places where Joshua of Nazareth is identified as the Word of God, not some book that would later be called the Bible. So here's a few more facts to validate this claim that I'm speaking of. Fact 1, Joshua never said a book would be written or compiled that would represent his father to mankind. Rather, he said plainly that he was the best representation of his father to mankind. He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He said, "It's not my words alone that I speak, but the words of the one who sent me." He said this very plainly, that he was the perfect and clearest revelation of the Creator to mankind. And so therefore, it only makes sense that only his words and his teachings and truths that are contained in his words would in fact be the Word of God to mankind, not the opinions of the Hebrew Bible authors, or the opinions of Paul or other writers or contributors to the 66 books in the Protestant Bible. Joshua said things like this, quote, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away," unquote. I mean, who else is going to claim that applies to? Is Paul going to claim that? Did Paul defeat death to make that statement? Nobody has, in an authentic, genuine way, did the miracles that Joshua of Nazareth did to validate that he was who he said he was, the Son of Man, the model for mankind. Fact number two, Joshua never taught that people ought to look to the scripture in order to know his father, or to the Bible to know his father. Rather, he said, look to him to know the Creator and our Heavenly Father. And he said that knowing our Father is eternal life. So here's what Joshua did plainly say about the scripture. Here's a quote from John chapter 5. He says, quote, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life, unquote. So it's the coming to Joshua that brings life. Of course, coming to him and understanding his person and his teachings. That's where eternal life is, not by staying in some ancient Hebrew scripture that merely pointed to him. In fact, you know, the reason that a lot of the Hebraic scripture pointed to the Messiah was so that people would listen to him. And yet people don't. They go right back to Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these other guys. And there's a reason for that. The reason is because what of Joshua said in John chapter 3, that this is the condemnation, that the people of the earth love the darkness rather than the light, unquote. So the people want to stay in the darkness because they don't want to live according to the way that Joshua teaches. So it's very important to acknowledge these facts and to prove them out for yourselves. Another fact that contradicts that the Bible is the Word of God is the fact that the Bible itself has many contradictions in it, both factual and ethical. So here's a few brief examples of those errors. I'm going to try not to get too detailed. I'm only going to give you a few. There are many more on the website, but here are a few examples just so you can hear if you're not going to be willing to check them out. First error is 2 Kings chapter 24 verses 8 versus 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 9. It has the year of the person, the subject, 18 years old versus 8 years old. So there's a 10-year discrepancy. That's an error, okay? 1 Kings chapter 7 verse 26 versus 2 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 5. You have 2,000 baths versus 3,000 baths. Again, a clear discrepancy, a clear contradiction or error. The next one, Ezra chapter 2 verse 5 versus Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 10. It has 775 sons versus 652 sons. Again, another clear contradiction. Also in that passage, it has to be asked why the translators translate the same exact Hebrew word transliterated bane as two different English words. If you dig into that, you'll see that there's the only reason to do that is to attempt to avoid that contradiction. Another error, 1 Kings chapter 9 verses 27 and 28 versus 2 Chronicles chapter 8 verse 18. It has 420 talents of gold versus 450 talents of gold. Again, these are minor things, but they're clearly contradictions and errors in the Bible. And the reasoning obviously is a perfect being wouldn't contradict himself. Therefore, the Bible doesn't represent the perfect being that is the creator of life on this planet. 2 Samuel 24:1 versus 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1 has God versus Satan. Again, that's a pretty dramatic difference. Same account, accounting the same experience and the same historical event, and yet one attributes it to God, one attributes it to Satan. Again, another plain contradiction. Here's some contradictions that are in the New Testament. Please note I am not pointing out contradictions in Joshua's teachings because there are none, at least he didn't make any. Rather, I am pointing out errors by the authors of the books of what people call the New Testament. And so in the book of Matthew chapter 27, 9 and 10, it cites Jeremiah for that quote of the Hebrew scripture, yet the prophecy is clearly contained in Zechariah chapter 11 verses 12 and 13. Again, that's a clear error by Matthew in that citation. In Matthew 1 verses 16 versus Luke chapter 3 verse 23, it has the person Jacob versus the person Heli. Clearly two different people, another contradiction. In Matthew chapter 8 verses 28 versus Mark chapter 5 verse 2 and 15, it has two demon-possessed men versus one man. Again, a contradiction, a factual error. Here's the great conceptual contradiction of the New Testament here. It's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 that Paul wrote, versus James chapter 2, verses 24. Oh, the tap dancing and sleight of hand used by theologians and religious guys to try to reconcile the plain contradiction between, quote, saved through faith alone, not by works, which is Paul's view, versus, quote, justified by works and not by faith only, unquote, which is James' view. And of course, James was a disciple of Joshua, and his view is correct. Paul's is not. So there are all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. This is just a few. Do a little research online. You can find many others, and which clearly, again, nullifies the claim that the Bible is the word of God to mankind. If God is full of contradictions and errors, then obviously that God is not worth listening to. The great moral contradiction in the Bible is the Hebrew scripture representing a God who tells men to go and kill women, children, and infants, versus the light of the world commanding love your enemies, quote unquote. So again, that can't be reconciled by all this silly theological dance about God having both a nature of wrath and vengeance and a nature of love and compassion. That's silly, and it's ridiculous if you think that through. Any being cannot have a primary character that contradicts itself and not be insane or severely conflicted. So God's nature and primary character is either love and compassion or it's wrath and vengeance. They are incompatible. So don't believe the lie of the religious people. Try to skate over that quickly with some mumbo jumbo. Here's an example of the horrible stuff that's in the Hebrew scripture. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. It says this, quote, "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you over king, as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts,' quote, 'I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel.'" So that's vengeance. "Now he set himself, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. 'Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey,'" unquote. So here you have this, you know, murderous vengeance, wrath thing that this God that the Hebrews made up to justify themselves, sending this guy Saul to go wipe out tens of thousands of, quote, women, children, and babies, unquote. Again, that's not morally justifiable from any perspective. So in addition to these contradictions, you have Joshua's teachings being consistent, and they provide the solution to all of mankind's worst problems. The Bible often and regularly adds to unnecessary conflict among people and offers conflicting ideas to solve problems. We just saw one. So the Bible in the Hebrew perspective is you ought to go wipe people out that you don't like to get what you want. Whereas the true perspective from the true and living God, the Creator, represented by Joshua of Nazareth, is love even your enemies, care for people, don't kill and be violent as a solution to anything. So here are a few more points that reveal the great Bible falsehood. Biblians and most Christians would fail a test or quiz on Joshua's teachings. And if you don't know Joshua's teachings, then he cannot be your leader or master, can he? So again, this reveals the duplicity of the Christians and Biblians saying, oh, we follow this, quote, Jesus Christ, unquote, whoever that is, and they are ignorant of his teachings. They can't even pass a test or a quiz based on the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. Furthermore, Joshua's teachings are revolutionary and will lead to a very different lifestyle and reason for living than the average Biblian or Christian makes. So, you know, there's this major inconsistency between the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth and how he says how to live versus how the Christians and Biblians actually live. They live no different than their kind or moral agnostics or atheists or Jews or Muslims or anybody else. So I hope you, dear listener, will consider these things that have been said, and that you will dig deeper and check out the website. Until next time, please become a real student of the light of the world by actually making him your master and thus reading and seeking to understand his words and teachings. Then get a little faith, courage, and love, and come change the lives of many people. Come live the most noble life possible and join the peaceful revolution. Please contact me for more information on how you can be part of the peaceful revolution.